head.
As if I had 7 minutes to do things here, it would normally take about a half an hour. I got most of them done. Now, we have a lot going on, a tremendous amount of news and activity. However, if you watch the flat screen, you're not going to see it. You'll miss it. And most people just are honestly, it's not their fault, clueless, because they do rely on the mainstream media to become informed. Biggest mistake they could possibly make in these terribly difficult times, period. We have a whole lot of stuff up tonight to talk about. Very interesting, very important. We're going to cover a few things we've mentioned before, but haven't brought forward enough, and a lot ahead. Erica, are you there?
I'm here, Jeff. Good evening.
Is it? Okay. I believe you. I'm just kidding. It's been crazy. I've never seen more information in my life come across my computer desk. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot to keep up with. And half of it's misinformation or disinformation.
Half at least. If it comes out of the mainstream media, it's all virtually suspect and should be considered thus. It's dangerous out there to look at the TV now. It truly is. It's not a joke. We have problems. And people who think they know and take themselves out of the game are really not helping the cause any. And the cause, of course, is trying to inform people. It's really that simple. All right, let's start off with myocarditis and pericarditis. Now, most of you out there listening are fairly well informed about that. But I guarantee you, unless someone is actually suffering from it, the damage, the permanent irrevocable damage that has been done to them, their heart, they won't know. I've heard of that. I'm not sure what it is. All right, so we're going to start out with a little look back and current overview of myocarditis and pericarditis, okay? Here's one that Erica found. It kind of tells the story. I'm really thinking I'm never getting better. I think my case is pretty severe. The extreme pressure and tightness on my chest has never gone away, or the squeezing and stabbing pains in my heart. It's now coming up on a year. I also cannot walk longer than a few steps, and my heart is constantly pounding, very forcefully, hard and fast. I feel like I can't breathe if I try to go upstairs or even stand or walk for a short distance. Going up my stairs makes my heart rate hit to 170s and the 180s range. It's incredible. My EF is okay, but EF?
That's the ejection fraction, an indication of how strong your heart is.
Is pushing. And what it's pushing is sludge. We'll get to that in a moment. My EF is okay, but I've been needing a stress ultrasound to see how it is when I'm walking, but they have had to reschedule me a few times. I'm just losing hope that I'll ever be okay. I can't believe this has happened to me. Now, this is a very common situation. People are getting to the point now where after 6 months or a year, they're beginning to give up hope of recovering. The average person, if you ask them about myo or peri, they'll tell you, well, if you rest and take really good care of yourself, you can get past it. Or they hope you can get past it. No, you can't. You are permanently, irrevocably damaged. And many people are being put on a heart transplant list pronto when they have a severe case of it. And who's to say what's severe and what isn't? Depends on what part of the heart has been damaged. Now, the bottom line is, all of a sudden, we have lots of vital organs like hearts and livers and kidneys and so forth that are available for transplantation. But there's a catch-22, times 22, times 22. And the catch-22 is?
Oh, well, they're likely contaminated with spike. The organs are being harvested from vaccine victims. And I think we did hear Nurse Ian describe a situation where a young man had passed away from a stroke, either a clot or a bleed in the brain.
Yep.
And his body
19
was
years old,
sent,
I think.
Yeah, he was young. Young. And apparently he was on designated as an organ donor, so they proceeded to harvest the viable organs.
And sent them off to be implanted in someone who probably was already destroyed from spike protein to begin with.
Yes.
So how do you win in a rigged game like that? You don't. Maybe you buy a few months, but the misery of trying to acclimate to a donated heart or a major organ of some other kind, I think would be grueling. And then when you find out, and you will find out, that your heart, your new heart, was already in somebody who was crawling with spike protein, which is what caused your myo or peri in the beginning. So how do you, I don't know. And this heart, the transplant business apparently is booming.
Yes. Yep. This is, the absurdity of it is, I don't even know how to process it.
I don't either. Let me do this real quick, just to give you all an idea of what, just a typical day's headlines. I'm going to read these headlines real quick. We're going to talk more about Gerd Vandenbosch in a minute, but Vandenbosch warns of catastrophe within months driven by the vaccinated. Vaccine expert warns of catastrophe. That's another story. Never mind that one. I'll skip that one. New COVID-19 strains detected in Russia. All right, is that something we really need to worry about? Is that a shock? Is that a surprise?
Well, the same COVID-19 thing's happening
strains?
Here.
Yes,
the same thing's
you.
Happening here.
There are new strains all over the place. So it's just happening. Now my screen just glitched. Hold on. Let me pull this back up. Okay. So, yes, new strains, expect that to be a very common news item in the headlines to come. The new bivalent Omicron-specific mRNA COVID boosters are worse than useless. That's written by Alex Berenson, former New York Times reporter. Very good to read that one. Cancer rates are exploding across America, and the CDC is covering up the deadly truth as to why. Not a surprise. CNN reports on the wave of cancer in younger people all across the country, and that's causing a great deal of uncertainty. Well, I think that's an understatement. Time to add schizophrenia to the list of unusual long COVID symptoms. Now, we've talked about the psychological and psychiatric aspects of spike protein in the brain, and that door is wide open, is it not?
Yes. Yeah. Through many mechanisms.
Dr. warns, exactly as we have been reporting for nearly 2 years here on this program, that the COVID vaccine is built to infiltrate every part of your body via the entire blood and circulatory system. All right, that's a video. It's another good one. These are all in headlines right now. Unvaccinated children are our only hope. And the second part is in generating herd immunity. No, let's leave that second part off. Unvaxxed children are our only hope for a future. Think about it. Post-vax, and you know when I say vax what I mean, post-bioweapon, jab, prion disease, CJD case history in California. It's a very interesting case. You can read that one. Dr. Roger Hodgkinson, our fairly frequent visitor to this program, says now, and this is a quote, "I hope people can imagine the extent of what is happening here." And when he was on the program, he made it quite clear that he had been told by someone at the top level of the competent scientists and physicians who are commenting on this whole catastrophe, that there were going to be a great number of dead people very soon. I forget the word he used, but it was enormous. Pfizer will charge now $2 billion per pound of COVID mRNA nanoparticles. So you want COVID mRNA nanoparticles? $2 billion a pound. Is Pfizer making money? Are needles sharp? Is grass green? New study, COVID vaccine effectiveness turns negative over time. Well, what a shocker. Were U.S. citizens tracked via secret COVID decree violation scores? That's a little bit off to the side here, but yes, the answer is obvious. Indeed, they're being tracked many ways. So just to give you an idea of some of the headlines. Okay. What do we want to do next year? We have so much.
Well, we have an interesting reader here. This is from the UK, and this was somebody making a valiant effort to dissuade people from taking a fifth or sixth shot by handing out leaflets or paper with informed consent. And it was a disappointing experience, but it's interesting to hear this individual's description of how it went.
Okay.
Do you have the reader, or should I start?
You go ahead.
All right.
Ladies first.
And this is courtesy of our colleague, friend, who's working diligently on our behalf, Craig Pardon Cooper, who was the one that was instrumental in putting up that How Bad Is My Batch compilation of data.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Craig. I was at a large vaccine center at Sutton Coldfield Town Hall with Sam Goody yesterday. Smart collar and tie, yellow vest, stood outside and engaged with many people, old, young, black, white, male, female. Gave both forms, explained the reasons why, and made mention I was at Parliament on Thursday with the MPs, doctors, and many vaxxed injured, demanding the vaccines are stopped immediately due to the injury and death being caused.
Mm-hmm.
Every single person carried on inside and had their fourth, fifth COVID jab and their flu shots.
Everyone.
They don't care.
Everyone.
The manager came out and had a good conversation about why we were there and showed her the forms, explained about Parliament. She didn't care. I'm doing my job. It's your opinion. Stop harassing people coming in, and they are safe. My 96-year-old mom had COVID and survived, and she's triple jabbed. My neighbor was unvaxxed and died from COVID. One man told Sam to F off, and a father with his teenage son with learning difficulties, despite agreeing he is worried and knows something is not right, still took him inside for his fourth jab and flu shot. Yes, together. We handed out 100 forms. The manager came out and said everything written on the form is on the patient's NHS records. I said some data is being wiped and removed, so this is for the patient to keep at home should they need to make a claim for VI payment, vaccine injury payment.
Mm-hmm.
This will speed up the process as there is currently a 15 to 18 month backlog and 2,700 claims made already with very few paid out. She totally ignored this information. I did the same at the mobile vaccine center in Solihull. I handed out 30 forms. Not one person walked away. Some waiting in the queue with the forms were reading them. I could see them discussing it with their relatives. They still went in and had the jab. The staff refused to engage, and the male nurse slash helper knew my name. This is a fantastic idea, but those going for vax 4, 5, 6 and the flu jab, it's too late for them. They are beyond help, and they are literally craving their shots. I will not waste any more time trying to stop them. It's futile.
Craving their shots. Craving. Wow. Interesting word. Craving those shots. It reminds me of the stories we hear about people who are dying and they're saying, oh, if I'd only gotten my booster sooner.
Mm. It's incredible. incredible.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I don't know where that reader is. I can't find it. Is it in the batch we just put up today that you put?
Yes.
Up?
Yep.
Where is it?
It's under Vax Education.
At the bottom. Okay, I see it now. All right.
And there's a little follow-up to that, Craig's comment on it. Mark Sexton and colleagues have been handing out my compensation leaflet to people queuing up for vaccination. The leaflet works because it got many of them discussing it. So they all went in the end and took their jabs. I think it sowed seeds of doubt and got many of them to at least read the list of side effects and the brief stats on adverse events. The Vaccine Center staff were alarmed enough to come out and speak with Mark, so the leaflet acted as a warning to them that other people are monitoring the outcomes associated with their vaccination program besides the NHS.
Oh. Okay, very good. Here's, do you have the Van den Bosch story up there?
I do.
On the screen?
Yep.
All right, I think we should jump into this a little bit. It's important. He is widely known and well followed, Geert Van den Bosch. And the headline of the story is very compelling. Vaccine expert Van den Bosch warns of catastrophe within months driven by the vaccinated. This will be the end of Western civilization. Hospitals will crash, and the rest of society will follow. Geert Van den Bosch. So that's what we're looking at. That's what's on the table. That's what we're all facing. And as you know, I think many of you know, if you've listened to us for any length of time at all, I believe there are tens of thousands of people a day dying in this country now. And I think that all told, it's minimum 10 million. It may be 20 million now, maybe higher. And you'll say, well, how could they possibly hide that? It's very simple. They just don't report it in the controlled Zionist mainstream media. So it doesn't exist. It's not a problem. And they have all these different death tags they can put on a death certificate. They got all kinds of plausible deniability. Endless, really. So it's just death.
Yeah, if all you're listening to is mainstream media, you're not going to see any of this.
And that is, unfortunately, probably 85% of the public here. If they watch the media at all, they're going to watch the big TV. Okay,
right.
All News Pipeline, where the story appears, and it is up in headlines right now, you can find it, says this article is one of the most eye-opening and alarming that we have read. Yet, on why over-vaccinating is pushing the world toward a tragedy. And what's worse than a tragedy, it's a catastrophe, it's an ELE very much on the table, extinction-level event. Focusing on the research and ideas of an independent virologist, Van den Bosch, and vaccine expert, who was formerly employed by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Van den Bosch now warns of a forthcoming health catastrophe that takes down much of Western civilization, driven by the vaccinated. Have you ever heard that on this program before? How many times? We've been at this same thing, the same theme, and it's really encouraging to see Van den Bosch now firmly on board with this. It is an ELE potential beyond catastrophe. What the Chinese communists say is that everybody who's gotten the shot, don't worry about the Americans, they're all gone. They're going to be gone quickly. Claiming on his website, Van den Bosch, Voice for Science and Solidarity, that decision makers in the World Health Organization will be held responsible, accountable, and liable for the dramatic consequence that this biological experiment on human beings could possibly entail. Now that's where Geert Van den Bosch and I think I can speak for Erica, part company. This is not an experimental vaccine. It's not a vaccine at all. And it is doing exactly what it was designed to do. It is a Department of Defense-owned biological weapon that was created to kill people. And it is doing that in spades. There are so many pathways to death in this anti-life injection. You wouldn't believe it if we were to sit down here and list them all. So Van den Bosch is still hanging on to that it's experiment and it went wrong and blah, blah, blah. No, you got everything else right, Geert, but you're not there yet. This is a deployed weapon that is doing precisely what it was designed to do.
All right, let's see.
Okay, from Dr. Joel S. Hirschhorn. We should pay attention to the frightening ideas of Geert Van den Bosch. This long article is worthwhile, no matter how well-informed you think you are. Rather than control the pandemic, vaccines now appear instead to be contributing to it with alarming implications, Van den Bosch warns. Understatement, Geert. Big-time understatement. Go and listen to the program where we explain how the Department of Defense went to Pfizer and Moderna and God knows who else, and here's what we want you to build. Here's a contract. And they hired them to build them, and they got them done. And now they're deployed, and they're doing exactly what they were intended to do in the beginning. Now, this has been game for over 20 years. We can say planned for over 20 years. All right, Van den Bosch predicts a vicious wave of COVID-19 that will be driven by the vaccinated, or more accurately, by the scientifically dubious policy of repeated mass vaccination. Well, let's jump back here. Let's rewind and go back to the beginning of this, or more or less the beginning, when the government announced that their plan was to vaccinate 80% of the world's population. And I've said this before, forgive me for the repetition. I immediately thought, what about the 20%? Are they just going to let them die from this? Because at the time, we all thought that there may be something to this terrible virus, and it's deadly. So I said, what are they going to do with the 20%? It didn't take very long to figure out that the 20% was already marked clearly as being set up for some kind of a spread of these shots, which were deadly. So how did that happen? Well, we know now that we call it shedding. So the war right now, in my view, is largely directed toward preserving as much of that 20% as we can. I don't know how successful we'll be. I don't know. I sadly think that we're going to lose at least half of that 20% for one reason or another. And the primary reason is shedding. I think I can speak again for Erica that we think there are indications now that shedding is becoming worse, more intense, and more fatal all the time. Now, it takes time, speaking of time, but it is being spread, and God help you if you engage in intimate physical acts with your vax counterpart, whether it's vaxxed or unvaxxed, you don't do that. It's not going to work. So shedding is a big story, and we think it's getting worse. Any thoughts on that?
That's the indication. And people are saying that whatever's in this new booster is infinitely worse than all the prior shots. Now, why that might be, I mean, we can surmise that maybe there's extra coating in there so that you're going to produce more spike protein, or maybe these people that are now on shot number 4 or 5 have become prolific producers of spike protein, and they're just churning it out.
Right. Van den Bosch.
And let's not forget, too, that these people who have received the vax are now capable of carrying the virus, not just manufacturing spike, but also carrying a viral infection without symptoms for the most part, which can spread to anyone else. And so what you may think is shedding may actually be the virus.
Could be. We just don't know.
No, we don't know. Neither one is good.
No. Van den Bosch, this is a long article. You'll find it again. It's in headlines now.
I think on the heels of that, we should mention what the clinics are seeing now, and now I've heard this twice today about this respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, traveling in tandem with influenza. So there's either a super infection having both of these viruses at the same time, and it's really knocking people for a loop. And there's also the possibility of a triple infection where you have RSV, influenza, and SARS, COVID. And they are seeing that in children, unfortunately, children who have been vaxxed. So I do think it's going to be a bad winter just based on the fact that we now have all these people who are jabbed multiple times, and we don't even know what's in this booster or something that's not protecting them from much.
Right.
They're immune suppressed, and so they're going to be harboring all manner of things. And again, we've said this before, being bioreactors for all kinds of recombinant chimeric viruses.
Oh, perfect. Petri dish, bioreactors, whatever.
And they may not have symptoms at first.
None. Could be completely asymptomatic.
That part of their immune system has been turned down.
Dr. Roger Hodgkinson got some information from a source, which I can't go any further than that, but that source told him that there'll be 20 million dead by the injection and 2.2 billion injured. I think that is far too conservative. I think we have 20 million dead perhaps in the U.S. already, and if 5 billion have been injected, those who survive for any length of time will in all likelihood be damaged, injured, may not even know it for a while. But the constant microclotting is building and building in your organs, in your extremities, in every capillary you have, when you think about the number of spike protein that is being created and circulated in your body. And don't forget that the spike causes normal proteins to misfold. And they go on in and of themselves and cause other normal proteins that they, now misfolded, run into to misfold as well. It's an avalanche, a cascade of protein misfolding in your body. So it just takes the spike to trigger one, which can trigger potentially an unlimited number of misfolded proteins, which will cause what? Fibrils? Which are the rudiment of clotting and damage to major organs.
Well, and let's not forget the dysregulation of iron.
We're going to get there.
It's destroying the blood.
Our last program, and I hope you'll listen to it, made it abundantly clear the mechanism by which this biological weapon is killing people. It's very simple, but it can be very complicated. We'll keep it simple as we've been trying to here. The spike protein causes the red blood cell, which is composed of hemoglobin and iron, to split into two. It kicks the iron loose. It kicks the hemoglobin loose. And the iron is extremely toxic to your body. It can cause proteins to misfold too, among other things. And most people have too much iron to begin with in their body, especially if you've eaten red meat all your life. Every time you eat red meat, you're dosing and powering down the iron. You don't need iron. Don't take iron supplements. Women, because of the monthly, actually lose blood, and their iron levels are not probably as high as most males. Males have very high iron levels. Give us a little bit more on why iron is so deadly.
Well, iron, it's essential. It's critical because you need it to oxygenate your body, essentially. You need it for delivering oxygen to cells and a number of enzymatic reactions that require oxygen, like producing energy in your mitochondria, like detoxing toxic molecules.
Yes, if I might jump in real quick. Iron and hemoglobin together make what we call red blood cells. They'll pick up a molecule of oxygen and take it and deliver it somewhere in the human body. Once that red blood cell, again, I repeat, is split into two pieces, they go off in their own directions, you got no red blood cell. And your blood begins to turn black. And Nurse Ann said every single patient who's been vaxxed, given the bioweapon, has black blood. Sludge that begins to clot the moment it's taken out of the body.
Yeah, that type of blood is you know, it's devoid of oxygen. It's lost its usefulness. And so it's clotting and it's starving your tissues at the capillary level of oxygen. You have no gas exchange at that you know, one cell level. So your organs and tissues are going to begin to, well, struggle at first and then potentially die if that isn't corrected. In the meantime, all this oxygen, the iron is becoming trapped inside cells due to the inflammation and something called hepcidin, which will cause this to happen as a protective mechanism. Your body senses when something is trying to invade it, such as bacteria or viruses, and these microbes need iron to proliferate. So the body, in its infinite wisdom, will try to sequester that iron by keeping it stored in tissues so that these opportunistic microbes can't have it. But that can cause other problems, particularly when you need the iron to create red blood cells, but your body won't let you have it, and that's when you develop anemia.
Right.
But adding iron or taking iron supplements in these situations can just make things a lot worse.
Don't do it. Iron and bacteria, what's the relationship there?
The bacteria, particularly the gram-negative bacteria that have lipopolysaccharides on them, love iron. They thrive on iron. And everybody has a dormant microbiome of these types, opportunistic types, that will spring to life when they sense that there's iron available.
And iron, unbound iron, because it's been separated from the hemoglobin, is the perfect fare for what she's talking about. That's exactly where it goes. So you don't want to be eating a lot of red meat. For God's sakes, don't take any iron supplements. And beware. Just beware. If you're around
people who... Well, we get iron from many different sources. I mean, making matters worse is many people do have mutations in the gene that regulates iron. So some people will just naturally absorb more of it. Some people don't form hemoglobin normally, as in sickle cell disease, so the red blood cells become kind of misshapen. So all of these are factors in regulating the levels of iron and can be problematic. But we're getting iron. It's put into breads and cereals. It's now added as a food preservative. These iron oxide nanoparticles are very good at keeping things longer on the shelf. And fairly recently, 2016 or 2017, the FDA approved the use of iron oxide nanoparticles as food coloring. So there's many hidden sources of these things. Just something to keep in mind. Iron is a big part of this illness.
The iron is a very large part of this whole diabolically, demonically evil war against life and the living. And that's what it is. And it's going to get worse. I'm sorry to say that I don't know any way to mitigate what's been done once you start down the road with the shots. Once you get the Department of Defense biological weapon in your body, you have a very grave problem to deal with.
You do, yeah. If you're continually producing the spike protein And the spike protein is acting as a hepcidin mimetic, which is the master regulator of iron in your body, and it's causing aberrant signaling, meaning, you know, your cells are getting the wrong signals of when to hang on to iron or when to release it, and you're basically being cooked if that intracellular iron is stuck, because the spike protein is telling the cells to hang on to it. You're going to get lipid peroxidation. You're going to
oxidize
your DNA.
Yeah, the fat around the membrane of your cells has fat in it. That's
and
lipids.
The membranes of the organelles inside the cells, including the mitochondria.
So you are in a lose-lose situation. The iron will burn that fat. Think about it. It's not like you're not going to be smoke coming out of your skin, but it's burning that fat. And we think that may be behind part of the odor issue that people are reporting. They're smelling putrescence, the death of cells
and
organs. And lipids,
mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. That's where it's coming from. So, and now we're getting reports of, was a guy that had, he had the bowel issue, and it was completely necrotized. I forget. I think it was a colon.
Oh, that could be from blood clots, yeah. That apparently is happening somewhat frequently now, these bowel issues. They're just, they get starved of oxygen, and they start rotting.
And how can they not? Why? The reason people are dying is because, there are several reasons. Let me go back and just read this first thing on myocarditis and pericarditis again. I just want you to hear this. This is by a woman wrote this. I'm really thinking I'm never getting better. I think my case is pretty severe. The extreme pressure and tightness on my chest has never gone away, or the squeezing and stabbing pains in my heart. It's now coming up on a year. I also cannot walk longer than a few steps, and my heart is constantly pounding very forcefully, very hard, and fast. I feel like I can't breathe if I try to go upstairs or even stand and walk for short distances. Going up my stairs makes my heart rate hit the 170 to 180 range. My EF is okay, as we described earlier, but I've been needing a stress ultrasound to see how it is when I'm walking, but they have had to reschedule on me a few times now. I'm just losing hope that I will ever be okay. I can't believe this happened. This portends dark things for many people who have been gravely wounded and injured by this bioweapon. There are more and more people now who are contemplating, if not have already done it, suicide. So you need to watch that. If you've got somebody who's been hurt and injured, understand that the depression can be absolutely catastrophic. And I think that we're going to see an awful lot of suicides before this someday ends, whenever that someday might be. People just give up.
Yeah, I do too. I'm seeing that to some extent in these various support groups.
Let's go back to our list here if you want. Amyloidosis.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, when was the last time any of you heard the word amyloid or amyloidosis on the mainstream media or anywhere else? It's a word that is now in disfavor, so to speak, and is being hidden. They don't want to talk about it. They want to talk about graphene oxide.
Mm-hmm.
Or what's the other one? Biological AI parasites. They're doing everything they can to misdirect people from honest, logical, pragmatic, linear thought inquiry. And since they own the media and the major talk show platforms, I won't name any names, you know who they are, they can literally orchestrate what the masses are hearing. And they're orchestrating lies. Lie after lie after lie. Forget the graphene oxide. It's not a factor.
No.
And don't worry about 5G. It's not conspiring to create a self-assembling, self-aggregating nanobiological AI parasites in your body. Forget it. And now there's an effort to say that spike proteins don't really exist, or if they do, they're not a factor. The lies are
really
astonishing.
Amusing to see some of these counter-narratives.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it reeks of desperation at this point. It's so blatant what's going on.
Well, I wish there was more desperation, but since they own the game, they're doing
pretty
well.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people are falling for it. There's no question. But
okay. Yeah. All right.
Why don't we stay on the myocarditis, because we got several of these that kind of run together.
One through. All right. We got number one, number two. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Go ahead with number one.
How is everyone dealing with this mentally? I'm on month 8, and things haven't really improved. I miss doing little things like going to the grocery store or going for a walk. I keep having flashbacks, memories of how free I was before the shots. I try not to text anyone or talk to my partner about this because it's so depressing, and I don't want to make other people sad.
All right, here's another one. This is a young lady. Hello again, everyone. I came back here after a few months of feeling better. However, I am not totally fine. I can't do too much exercise, and I get tired easily. Can't walk much. My heart starts hurting, and my palpitations go to 150. Are we going to be like this forever?
Mm.
I'm afraid the answer for a lot of them is yes. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. A couple people replied. I am 1 year post second Moderna. I take beta blockers twice a day, every day, to keep my heart rate under control. I cannot exercise, but can walk much more than in the beginning. I recently went on vacation with lots of walking. It stayed under control for the most part. No scary events or bad chest pain, pressure. I'm 51, however. My electrophysiologist said it has been harder on younger people in their 20s and 30s. And another one says, I guess no one really knows for now. Mine is pericarditis, and I don't have high heart rates. However, the pain is awful.
Hmm. And people just don't want to face the fact that myocarditis, pericarditis are permanent, damaging, and destructive to the heart muscle tissue itself. The heart does not regenerate. And that's very hard for people to accept. So they get put on a heart transplant list. And what do they get? They get a spiked heart. How clever. The insurance companies get lots of money. The hospitals get lots of money. But what do they get? They get a spike protein infested heart, and they're in the same. I'll stop there. Okay, here's another one. Hey, legends, still got symptoms 12 months post one time. What is one by PF?
One Pfizer.
Okay, one Pfizer shot. Still got symptoms 12 months after one Pfizer shot. Still had to get my second Pfizer shot and then a third AstraZeneca to keep my job. This is insane.
Isn't it?
Staying positive, though, my question is, has anyone tried cold therapy? I'm going to build an ice bath. I can't do saunas as my heart rate goes through the roof, and I feel like I'm about to have a heart attack. I'm just wondering what effects cold therapy had on heart rate. Cold baths boost mitochondrial repair and autophagy, from what I have read. Well, good luck.
To me, it seems like a lot of these people don't understand what's happened to their heart. And I did see one fairly long-winded story about someone whose child, teenager, was damaged by the vax, And they were going for some kind of mitochondrial repair therapy out of state. I mean, this is a fairly big ordeal. They were going to some center that specialized in mitochondrial repair. But I would think the first order of business would be shutting down the spike protein. Otherwise, the body sees that these heart cells are producing spike, and it will continue to attack it.
Yes.
That's essentially what's happening. And so the long story short is that all took place apparently over the summer, and they had maybe a couple of weeks, maybe a month of relief, and all the symptoms came back. So tremendous amount of money spent on this therapy that was supposed to be curative.
People are trying all kinds of things. You just heard guys talking about taking ice cold baths, cold whatever. They're desperate. I understand that. There really isn't any treatment for myocarditis that's going to be long term and in any way, shape, or form going to reverse the damage that's been done. This is not going to happen.
Well, the things that are working, the colchicine seems to be a big one if you can handle it. There's a number of
side effects
with it.
Big side effects.
Yeah, yeah. Big side effects. So it's a trade-off. And then there is steroids to take the inflammation down and the immune response down. There was something else I forget. But I mean, these are temporary stopgap measures.
They're
managing symptoms.
They're Band-Aids.
And maybe mitigating some of the damage, but when the inflammation eventually subsides, and hopefully it does, you're left with scar tissue.
You have a damaged heart. Okay?
Yeah. And some of these people are now having valves that are becoming leaky.
And I think
so
that
at some point those need to be replaced. It's ridiculous.
Pig valves. What about necrotizing heart tissue, kidney tissue, liver, whatever? Are they talking about that at all? These people with myo and peri, is the tissue necrotizing?
Well, that would be indicative of a heart attack, and people have had heart attacks.
All right. Okay, number five.
Okay. Friend has just spent 5 days in hospital, was admitted after having chest pains and numbness in her arms. She has been told she has myocarditis. Fit and healthy, 41-year-old, does not drink or smoke. The doctor told her it's because she had a chest infection for a couple of weeks. And as she didn't get antibiotics, her immune system has basically attacked her heart, causing myocarditis. She's had 3 jabs. She actually believes what she has been told. Now she's been referred to a heart specialist.
Who will probably put her on a transplant list at some point if she doesn't respond. 13, all right, here's another one. 15 months after the second jab, and my psychologist recommended hospice care. I'm only 30. Colchicine ruined my stomach, and I was forced to stop it. My stomach has not healed, and I'm sitting all day in pain. I can't take any meds because of my broken stomach. The heart pain is really bad, and I can't sleep because of it, and the anxiety it brings to me. I don't know what to do anymore. I'm really stuck, friends. I can't walk due to the pain, and my inner body is shaking. I feel like I'm dying. The hospital didn't do anything when I went in. They told me to follow up with the cardiologist, who have all dropped me now as a patient. I got so many second opinions, and they all said to keep taking colchicine. But I can't tolerate it, and now I'm in worse pain. I've tried everything. I can't tolerate sleeping pills or stomach protectors. I don't know what to do.
There you go. Desperation.
These people are going to check out some of them. Go ahead.
Yeah. There were replies to that. trying to shore him up a little bit. The next one is, it's been 1 year and 4 months, and the chest pain, tiredness, and palpitations are still there. I don't want to live like this anymore. One reply,
that was a
same
statement
here.
From one, that was a statement from
that's
one
a different person.
Person.
Different
yes,
person.
Different. I don't want to live like this anymore. Go ahead. We got a couple.
Same here. 1 year and 3 months for me. I still have hope that I will fully recover. Stay positive. We will get through this. Another one, don't give up. There's always going to be new things to try, and you can get through this. Here's another one, more descriptive. Same, 13 months. I monitor my heart rate with a watch. I try to keep it under 120 beats per minute. When using my daily energy, I try not to exert myself with one or two activities, but I pace myself. For the pain, it helped me going to acupuncture and an osteopath. I, too, found that my mental well-being is very important in the recovery. I go for small walks or talk to positive people when I feel down. It's a very slow recovery, but the process is linked to what I do during the day. Trying to do the right thing for my body is helping me. I hope some of these words can help you, too. Stay strong. Another one, me too, 18 months.
I can only try to, and I don't want to, imagine what a one-year-old or a two-year-old or a five-year-old little child with myocarditis and pericarditis must feel like. In pain constantly, heart pounding. This is really hideous. And I just think of the parents who have allowed their children to be injected with this Department of Defense biological weapon, and they see their little child or children begun to be taken apart physiologically by these things, destroyed. It's just hideous.
It is.
And yet I still look every day for somebody with a placard saying something. I don't see anybody. Nobody. It's as if they've accepted this as the new normal. Well, yeah, a lot of people are dying. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I really do think in the next year or two, this crescendo is going to grow, the crescendo of death, to be deafening.
Well, I'm already seeing a drop in you know, businesses, services that are available. There's long lead times for just everyday services, oil burner cleanings, you know, routine services, getting your oil changed. I mean, maybe some places are better than that, but you can tell there's a shortage
lines
of workers.
At the bank? No, yeah. Not only were there was nobody. I went to the bank today. There's no one in there.
Well, you know, some of them are just, I mean, if you've got pain like this, you're not leaving the house, most likely. Hopefully you're not
driving. How many times
have
we said this? People are sick and they're not leaving home. They don't feel good enough to go out. And they stay home. And many of them are listening right now. And all of you out there who are listening, who have been injected and who have been wounded, injured, you know we care about you. All good people care about you. And we only wish there was something we could offer other than this dreadful information. But to inform people might help some. At least give them the courage to battle on. Because the pain and the physiological grief from myocarditis alone is intolerable. It's just hideous.
Yeah.
Okay, we better wrap this one up for tonight. I hope all of you take this again in the spirit in which and by which we are delivering it, and that's to help you understand what the media will never tell you and what's going on all around you, and to be kind to those who are suffering and who have taken the shots under duress or were tricked and duped into it, etc. And then there are those who just can't wait to go get that new booster. So what do? You just don't engage, just disengage. Help those who wish to be helped as much as you can. And for goodness sakes, please take shedding very, very seriously.
Yeah, that's no joke. No joke.
All right, partner. Talk to you soon. Thanks.
Okay, Jeff. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
All right, we'll be right back with another hour. Hang on. Don't go away.